Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we've removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical. The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
As we continue in the book of Philippians, I want to read the first verse that we're starting with today, and then we're going to go to an interview, but I wanted to start out with this verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Every time I think of that verse, I have to remember where Paul was when he was writing it. He was in a Roman prison. And so today, regardless of your situation, regardless of where you might be, we say chapter 4, verse 4 of Philippians is a great verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, Alex, we rejoice in what God is doing and has done, and we're rejoicing also for what God has produced through the American Family Studios, which is part of the American Family Association, brother.
Amen. Well, Bert, it's good to be with you. And for years, the American Family Studios, filmmaking, documentaries, audio recording, a lot of people don't realize, really one of the best audio recording studios, I think, in America is right here at AFA. It's just quite impressive. And hey, I give God the glory. Back in 2017, a documentary, it was a curriculum that we did on biblical worldview for parenting. Jeff Shambly helped me, and we scripted it and filmed it, and it won Video Curriculum of the Year. And so the studios are quite renowned, and one of the people that God is using to create just world-class content is M.D. Perkins, and I think he might be there in the studio with you.
To my right hand is M.D., and let me just give you this qualifier. I've known him a long time, and he and one of my sons, they were in school together, and so, M.D., it's good to have you, brother.
Good to be with you, gentlemen. Thank you.
And he was on exploring missions with me and talked about this that he's talking about that you'll hear later. But something has been released recently called Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency. M.D., I heard you did a lot of research on this. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Going back to 2018 is when I started working on the research and
okay, wait before you go any further. Okay. 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Hey, we're looking at 5 or 6 years, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it was a while. But, you know, providentially hindered at a certain couple of points in there, you know, working on the In His Image documentary, writing a couple of books on sexuality issues in the church. But, you know, I really needed that time, frankly, to understand Don, to understand the burden that he had, and to make sure that I was able to communicate the message and the vision of AFA clearly, and to make the case for why what he did matters.
Mm-hmm. Alex, let me just do this real quickly, because we've been talking about it. I've been able to see it. I saw it in the big theater, and it was just awesome that way. But now I hear it is available to people if they want to see it. And let me see, you not only want to see it, you need to see it. Yes. How can people get this?
Go to culturewarrior.movie. That's a website, culturewarrior.movie. You can add the little different words on the end now, culturewarrior.movie. You can register very briefly there and be able to watch the movie for free at culturewarrior.movie. So go check it out. It's
Alex,
available.
This is good news, isn't it, man?
Well, it really is. It is such an inspiring story. And, you know, when I was at Share-a-thon a month ago, plus I got a Culture Warrior t-shirt. And wearing that home on the plane, I got to share some conversations with people. But MD, try to tell the viewers, and the documentary shows it so well, but this man of God, this courageous visionary man of God, Dr. Don Wildman. Who is the person that you met in the creation of this film biography?
Yeah, Don is a pretty fascinating person, just from a number of angles. I mean, you know, the media always treated him unfairly because he's a country preacher from Mississippi. You know, he talks with a thick Southern accent, but he was very shrewd, very, very intelligent, and more than that, was really called and anointed by God for a very specific purpose. And the purpose was to bear public witness on a number of cultural issues that had come to light that were impacting American society and culture and influencing the church in ways that that frankly Christians had grown rather accustomed to. And even himself, kind of he recollects that night in 1976 as he's sitting down to watch TV with his family, and he's kind of overwhelmed at the reality of just what the raunchiness that's on TV.
And that was in 76.
That was 1976.
Okay, yeah, let's get that clear.
No mention of, not to mention where things are now.
And that was on the network and not on the cable.
Right,
back
just
then.
The three standard stations that they had. And, you know, that night being a very pivotal moment for him to realize not only where things had slid into in society, but also his complacency in that and wanting to really, in a sense, you could say even an act of repentance in terms of like the response and wanting to get his church activated, get them thinking about these issues, but not just keeping it as a private, personal, you know, this is my personal conviction, I don't really talk about it. It's like, well, if we're Christians and we're in society, then we should be getting other people to start to think about these things too, because they have implications on our unbelieving neighbors. Whether or not they recognize Christian morality as legitimate, there's still that natural revelation impact of this is true. And so if it's true for us, it's true for everybody. And so getting to start some of those conversations about the impact of indecency on television, rolling into a concern about pornography being proliferated through convenience store magazines and things like that, to issues of, you know, the homosexual agenda taking place within corporate America, how government was spending tax dollars regarding art and the National Endowment for the Arts and Last Temptation of Christ. I mean, there's just so many, you know, it really is a little microcosm of the last 40 or 50 years of American history, and things that I think a lot of people maybe have forgotten about, or even younger generations may not be aware of some of those culture war battles that have happened.
What you hear, Alex, is that which was content in a chronological order, CC as I call it, you know, the content that you just described, and then kind of how it developed over the years and how it took place. And also, I would say this, how people came to join him in that battle. Yeah. First of all, it was he and his church, and then the church. They got wind of it at a newspaper, TV station there in the Memphis area, and it became bigger than just their church. And Don, having the vision that he had, and I heard him say it to me. He and I go back, you know, we go back a long way. And he said, I knew God had something bigger than this, and that's when it happened, and it clicked. And you were talking about the repentance of doing something. He had not. But this gave him, MD, the opportunity to bring others with him.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where the National Federation for Decency was born, which, of course, now some people may not realize that was the original name for AFA. AFA changed its name in 1988. But the National Federation for Decency, I mean, Don started it immediately there in early 1977 in the midst of that Turn the Television Off week, when he was getting people kind of thinking about those issues and writing those press releases and getting the media to kind of, you know, because he was clever enough to realize they're going to take an interest in this. You know, country preachers don't like start talking about this stuff very much. So at a novelty level, he knew he might get some traction with it and then maybe be able to play off of that and build something. And he really did. I mean, the momentum of that moment is fascinating when you look at who AFA is now. And you see these threads that run through AFA today, and the consistency of the stand, the strength of the leadership, the integrity that's here within the organization, the the frugalness and stewardship of finances and time that is a part of the ministry even today, and then the emphasis on decency and public witness and all of these sorts of things, integrity. I mean, all of those threads go all the way back to Don. So if you've been a part of AFA, if you've loved the mission and message of AFA, then it'll be fascinating to see how those things have developed and been maintained over time, you know, by God's mercy, of course, in the midst of this, because many organizations have lost their way in recent years too. But thankfully, the Lord has preserved us and kept us on the right path.
Go ahead, Alex.
The MD, Alex here. As you were digging through, you know, news footage and magazine articles and newspaper coverage, talk about some of the things that you came across. And well, let me ask it this way. All of the television appearances, because I'm old enough, I remember in the 80s, you know, my mother and dad were very conservative Christian people. And so we saw Don Wildman on television many times. I well remember that. Did AFA have like the film footage from so many of those appearances and such?
Well, that's a great question, Alex. You know, we started this without having all of that footage. You know, I wasn't sure, frankly, where we were going to find some of it because, you know, I knew that there had been a number of these appearances. We had a handful of them. We had some clips that had been compiled on some other things, but in God's great providence, He had us undergoing a large renovation project around the time that we were working on this. And one of the engineers wheeled a dolly down to my office one day full of about 70 VHS tapes that had All right. a number of these wonderful interviews and TV appearances and things that Don had given at different points early on in the ministry, going back to the early 80s. So, you know, those were things that, yeah, they were here, but I didn't know that they were.
You didn't
initially.
Know they existed.
Yeah.
That is really awesome. And, you know, there's people like James Dobson and Chuck Colson and Phyllis Schlafly and D. James Kennedy, a number of people God raised up, and Jerry Falwell and Don Wildman. And Bert and I have often talked about this because, you know, we've got our spiritual heroes, but it seemed like Don Wildman and the American Federation for Decency, which became AFA, as God was raising up Chuck Colson and James Dobson, he was also raising up Don Wildman. It seemed like for a very strategic moment of spiritual crisis, God raised up these leaders. Dr. Wildman being one of them. Did you get a sense of that God was providentially doing something very special in raising up these leaders?
Yeah, isn't it interesting just how many formidable Christian ministries were begun there in that late 1970s period into the early 80s? And then you have the election of Ronald Reagan there around that same time. And so we do make mention of that in the documentary, just kind of stepping back and realizing in a bigger social sense some of the things that God was doing in the midst of American society as a preservation, I think, you know, for a time, mm-hmm. to try and hold some things back that were happening that would be very destructive, and also to bear witness to the truth and on a number of different fronts. So yeah,
MD, we got
about 30 seconds. Real quickly, tell us where they can watch it one more time.
Go to culturewarrior.movie, type in that onto your web browser, and you can go watch it for free.
Okay, Alex, got about 40 seconds, brother.
What is the call to action? What do you want viewers to come away with, MD?
I want viewers to recognize that it is okay to take a stand, and in fact, God calls us to do it. And you don't have to be Don Wildman yourself, and you don't have to stand in the exact same way that he did, but you can use the talents and strengths and skills that he gave you to make a stand for righteousness and to bear the truth in the way that he calls you to.
Culture Warrior, you don't want to miss it. And again, you can find it, culturewarrior.movie. We'll be back with the book of Philippians. Don't go away. Thank you, MD.
We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
What could be better than walking with Him? He is so faithful. Alex and Bert here, so glad that you're listening. We're in Philippians, kind of getting near the close of Philippians. That's one of these books in the New Testament. It's somewhat brief, just four chapters, but man, every verse is so power-packed. And Bert, I remember being in Bible school when I was a little kid, and we learned a song, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice."
Yeah.
Years later, I would learn that's Philippians 4:4.
It's amazing what music can do for our own memories and thinking about that. I agree with you, Alex. It's great. And let me say about this chapter 4, starting with verse 4 all the way through, there will be verse after verse after verse that is quoted as believers' favorite verses. And it's just jam-packed here. And he starts this, "Rejoice in the Lord." How often, Alex?
Always.
Always. Now, what does that mean in the Greek?
Always means always. You know, there's the old saying, all means all. That's all means. Yeah. And so when we're to rejoice in the Lord, you know, the story is told of Matthew Henry. Do you remember Matthew Henry's commentary?
Oh, yeah, I have it, brother. I have the six-volume one of it. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, and he was always praising God, and he was always looking to the bright side. Well, he got mugged in Boston, and two guys jumped him and beat him up and took his wallet, and he was recuperating in a kind of infirmary. And they said, "Okay, Matthew Henry, you're always rejoicing in the Lord, but you just got robbed and beaten up. Are you going to praise God for that?" And he said, "Absolutely." And they said, "What?" He said, "Well, look, while the guys beat me up, they didn't really hurt me. And they took my money, but it wasn't much. And clearly they needed the Lord. And as I laid there in the street, they ran away. But I shouted and I told them about Jesus. So yes, I praise God that I got mugged." And the two friends were saying to Matthew Henry, okay, we get it. But you know, really, we've got so many blessings. And I don't know, Bert, I'm preaching at myself, but the longer I live, the more I realize that I have so much to be grateful for.
Amen. Now, it doesn't stop here in verse 4. Listen to this.
Right.
"Let your gentleness," it really means graciousness, if you were going to put it through it, "let your graciousness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." Now, notice he uses the word "all" once again. It doesn't say "let your graciousness or gentleness be known to a few." It doesn't say "just those that follow Christ." He uses the word "all men." I couldn't help but think about what Peter wrote to those that were trying to win their spouse to the Lord. It says, "They will know it by your gentle, gracious spirit." There's something about that. And Matthew Henry, the example that you just gave, demonstrates that. And I can just see those two men that ran away. It didn't just affect the story of the ones he was telling it to, but I got a feeling those men could hear those words again and again. There's something about that graciousness that really, it's like dumping coals of fire on their head. You know that scripture, Alex. And mm-hmm. So here it is, "Be gracious to all men. The Lord is at hand." Now, I want to ask, what does those have to do with one another? Being gracious to everybody and the Lord is at hand? Why would he put that on there? I think I know, because you want to be found faithful with what he's given you, even in the graciousness, don't you?
Well, amen, amen. And the Lord is at hand in a number of senses. I mean, God is always watching. God is always with us. But also, Jesus is coming back, you know? And this could be the day that we see God face to face. Notice when it says that, and the King James says, "Let your moderation be known to all men." It could be self-control. I like the one, like you said, graciousness. Notice that gentleness and humility are characteristics of the Spirit-controlled Christian. Yes. Not insisting on one's own rights or anything like that. But verse 6, I've always loved the way this is worded. Be careful for nothing, but, you know, not worrying.
The word is anxious. Don't be anxious.
Yes.
Yeah.
In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, there's that gratitude again, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, Bert, I kind of chuckle last week. You were talking about when Paul's only halfway through the book and he says, "Finally, brethren." but you can tell this is getting to the closing salutation. I mean, what a promise. Your mind stayed on Jesus, your heart and life controlled by the Holy Spirit. Your posture being one of gratitude, and then let your request be made known unto God. So we have petitions and requests. God knows that. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. In other words, it's beyond human description. In the 50s, Billy Graham wrote a great book. I've got an original copy called Peace with God. Bert, don't you think that's something that... many humans crave, but many humans also miss out on the peace of God, which could be theirs.
Amen, Alex. Notice what he does. He moves from anxiousness to peace, okay? Be anxious for nothing. In other words, this, you've got to have the victory over your anxiousness, and then the peace will follow. The peace of God, it's when you have peace with God. Peace with God means that you're right with Him, you're in relationship with Him, and then that the peace of God is what He brings into your life when your mind is stayed upon Him. And so, Alex, this is so, I love this. Be anxious for nothing, and then it moves the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Now, again, notice what it says, will guard your hearts, and what else? Your minds. What's one of the themes of the book of Philippians? It is your mind and thinking straight. In other words, if you want to have straight thinking, if you want to have the mind that will bring understanding, the mind that passes all understanding, this peace, it is being right with God, being anxious for nothing, and receive the peace that God brings into our lives. Alex, I just love that. And it says it will guard your hearts. Now, this word guard, if I'm not mistaken, means it's like what you let in. In other words, what it guards, it keeps out some of those things, and then it will go on to think on these things. So guarding your heart, guard your heart. Alex, how important is that? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So yes. You want to guard your heart, what you dwell on, don't you?
Well, you really do, because, you know, Elmer Towns, do you remember him?
Yes, yes.
Great scholar, but he said, sow a thought, reap a deed, sow a deed, reap a habit, sow a habit, reap a destiny. I used to hear him say that, but that's really true, because thoughts begat actions. And actions really shape the trajectory of our life, you know. I don't think anybody sets out and thinks, you know, I'm going to become a drug addict. That's what I'll do. No, nobody thinks that way. But yet people do become slaves to habits. And psychologists talk about what are called neural pathways, things that we think about and repetitively we establish thought habits, and that could be disastrous. That's why, you know, the Bible talks about having our mind stayed on Christ, because there's plenty of things that are false, plenty of things that are ungodly, we need our mind to be fixed on God and His truth, because as we think, so we ultimately live.
And Alex, one more word. Don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but before we get to verse 8, we may spend the rest of our time on verse 8. It is just so filled, but it surpasses all understanding. And you said it's beyond understanding. It is so much more. And I couldn't help but think about that what Paul and others have described, how he described the third heaven, how John, when he had described that, it is unspeakable and full of glory. And so this is it is surpassing. The peace that God brings into your life surpasses the difficulties in this life. It really does. No wonder he could say, going back to verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Because of what he writes after verse 4 is the reason he could write verse 4 in rejoicing in the Lord, Alex.
Amen. That is a great observation, Bert. That is a great observation. One of my favorite, I know I mentioned a lot of people that have influenced my life, but one of whom is Dr. Gary Habermas. And Habermas is well known for his work on two fronts, really. Ancient evidence for the life of Christ, even besides the New Testament, Jewish, Greek, and Roman sources that tell us all about the life of Jesus. And then, of course, the historical proof for the resurrection. And yet, if you have Gary Habermas on a Sunday morning to preach, he might, chances are, and I know him well, he preaches a lot on Philippians. And I really don't know that I've ever heard anybody unpack Philippians 4:8 as thoroughly and as inspiringly as Gary Habermas. But Paul writes, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Verse 9 is somewhat similar, but I really want to talk about verse 8. Bert, one thing I love about the Apostle Paul, he makes lists. And I like lists, don't you?
I do. I have one every Saturday morning. It's called a to-do list. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, that's right. But look at these things. All right, and it's talking about our mind. It's talking about being grateful. And gratitude and our thought life leads to gentleness, moderation, getting past anxiety, right? And God's peace really dominates us. I mean, Bert, you've met people that just carry about them composure and peace. And that's just one of the great gifts of the Holy Spirit. And verse 8 is almost like a summary. What should characterize our thought life?
Let me share with you what I came up, and Philippians is one of my favorite books. I've got so many sermons, and I love it. I'm not saying I'm anyone that's an expert in it, but I have spent a lot of time in it. When you look at verse 8 and you see what it says, those things, you have a description of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is
Amen.
The truth. He is the one that speaks truth, honest or noble. Just, man, he knew their hearts. He knew what they were thinking beforehand, what was good. Pure, no sin in him. Lovely. Listen, when you find out some of the descriptions that's in the Old Testament describing Jesus Christ, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning, you know, everything lovely. And a good report. He could go back to the Father and say, "I have finished all the work that you've given me to do." No wonder on the cross he could say, "It is finished." And then if there's any virtue and if there's any praise, meditate on these things. So here it is, Alex. Jesus Christ should be on our minds all day long. Dwell on these things, brother. And that's what it says, meditate. The word think has the idea of meditate. It means to examine, to go over, and to receive. So when you read Philippians 4:8, I do believe it is a renewing of your mind. You remember what he said in Romans 12, the renewing of your mind. One of the greatest ways to renew your mind is do what chapter 4, verse 8 of the book of Philippians says, Alex.
Well, you know, what's interesting is here in verse 8, there are eight characteristics, attributes, fruits, truth, honesty, justice, purity, loveliness, good report, virtue, praise. And the implication is, and I realize it takes a while to train yourself in this way, says if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. And the implication is as opposed to other things. Now, let's just let the Holy Spirit really speak to us. We are to fill our mind, our heart, our mouth, our words, the things on which we meditate, things that are true, things that are honest, and we've all been dishonest. We've all passed on juicy bits of gossip that weren't uplifting or even accurate sometimes. So honesty, justice, or fairness, or one commentator spoke of this as moral excellence, purity, whatsoever things are lovely. You know, there's plenty of things that are ugly. Things of Jesus are beautiful and lovely, of a good report. And Bert, this is like First Corinthians 13. Love believes what is true. You know, when it says believes all things, we've talked about this many times. The wording of 1 Corinthians 13 says believes the best about somebody unless proven otherwise.
Amen.
Bert, this will change our outlook and our relationships, wouldn't it?
It does. No wonder we need to concentrate on the book of Philippians. And we're not through with this book yet. There's some more that's to come that's going to just light up your life. That number for your question is 888-589-8840.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion. And every day, their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.
Every second of our lives, we are precious in His sight. We are children to a Father, gave His all to give us life. It don't matter where you are.
Amen. Brent is pouring it on with these songs that he's letting us bring in each segment in. Thank you, Brent, for that. And Chuck, we're going to get to you in a moment, but the other lines are open right now, so you can call 888-589-8840. If you have your Bible question, 888-589-8840. And we'd remind you of Operation Christmas Child. You can go to Samaritan's Purse, and you can see that and know that what it's about, Operation Christmas Child, with that shoebox. And the collection starts this Monday, the 18th, and you want to be ready for that. But Alex, we've set aside Tuesday as a prayer day. Now, so I just want to lead us in prayer, and then Chuck, you just hang on. We'll get right to you, brother. So let's pray together. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we're thanking you for what you're doing in our lives, in our nation. And Alex and I have talked about it and talked with others. We feel like, God, you have given us as your church an opportunity to really make the most of the day. We talked about it last Wednesday, redeeming the time. So, Father, that means making the most of our time. And I pray for churches that they would do that, that they would be missional in their purpose. They would look out into the fields that are white to harvest and send laborers into that harvest as they pray. And Father, we're asking that you would bless AFR in this mission. Part of our mission and our statement is to aid the church in carrying out the mission of Christ, sharing the gospel to this nation, but also to the whole world. And Father, we're desiring to do that and exploring word is one of the key points in doing that. Alex and I make much of Jesus and point people that way. And you, I pray, Father, you would help Alex and myself to stay on target as we open your word and make much of Jesus. And Father, help our newly president-elect Trump. He's already started doing some great, great appointments. And I'm just, for me, it's exciting to see men that I know that know you that will be serving in those cabinets that are capable of what they're doing and then able to discern and know your will. And Father, pray and seek your face. So Father, we're praying for those men and women to be capable and then also to depend upon you. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Alex,
that was a good prayer, brother.
Well, brother, I've been thinking of what God has given us, and I do believe everybody who's listening, pastors, Sunday school teachers, God has given us the opportunity to really make a difference, and I pray that we would do that. Well, that number, again, we've got lines open. We're about to go to Chuck, but that number is 888-589-8840. Okay, here, I had a problem with that. See if you can click on it. It didn't do it with mine for some reason. Okay, Chuck, thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for taking my call, and my prayer is for the continuation of the good works that you and Alex are doing and the blessing that you are to so many people that you probably just can't even imagine. And thank you. Thank God for you guys.
To God be the glory.
My question is this. My Sunday school class has undertaken the Journey of a Lifetime series. And in the first lesson in Genesis, the word Yom was explained in the context of the 7 days of creation. And my question is this. In the first 3 days, God says morning and evening were the first day, the second day, and the third day. However, the mention of the celestial bodies and seasons and dates are not mentioned until the fourth day. And can you just help me understand? It became a point of discussion in our class, and I really need your help with this.
Chuck, thank you. Praise the Lord for the studying you're doing and digging in. Alex, let me see. He said, let there be light, and there was light. So you had light already, but it had not been isolated to the sun and the moon. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, Yom, Y-O-M, you know, the creation days. And by the way, I believe these are literal 24-hour days. The rotation of the earth and the orbit of the earth around the sun is still the same as it's always been. Now, what's interesting, Bert, amazing, the word Yom is found in the Old Testament 2,301 times. Now, and I was reading one commentary. It says virtually always it means a day. The word day, morning and evening were the first day. Now, somebody... And by the way, let me say this. There are creationists that they accept the Bible and creation, but they are what they call old earth creationists. But I want to remind people that really what we might call the old earth position, that there were hundreds of thousands or millions of years, that really didn't even exist prior to Charles Darwin, and it was a compromise position that was really dreamed up to try to make time enough for evolution since we don't observe evolution taking place. Well, it must have taken a long time. Bert, I don't think that's a good hermeneutic. I think our hermeneutic, we should take the words for what they mean, not philosophically assume things to try to accommodate the... philosophies of unbelievers. Now, I know the day, you know, people would say, well, back in my day, well, I understand day can, in some contexts, mean an indeterminate period of time. You know, back in the day of the American Revolution, well, that could have been 50 years. But virtually always, day means day. One last thing, though, when it says morning and evening, there's this qualifying attached to the word day. Sunrise, sunset, nighttime, sunrise. Bert, clearly, by context and by word definition, we're talking about literal creation, 24-hour days.
I believe that as well, and a lot of people do, but we have some dear, dear friends that do not.
Sure.
There's some graciousness that we allow in this area, and that's when I'm an early earth. We got, you know, the issue is the issue of sin and death if there's thousands of years. And so if we can't completely understand the first 3 days without the sun and moon being separate, you still have that light that I believe it does help us to understand that, as Alex said. Chuck, we hope that helps, brother. It has been quite a discussion many, many times. Let's go to Oklahoma and talk to Kent. Kent, thank you for calling.
Hey, hi, guys. It's so good to talk to you again.
God bless you.
Are you there?
Yeah, you're on. Thank you for calling, brother.
Okay. All right. Yeah, last time I talked to you, I go, you guys are always just like old friends. but anyway, so I had this friend who wanted to play Stump the Preacher, because that's what they like to do, you know. And the question was, at the crucifixion, when Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they do, to what extent is he giving them forgiveness? And I said, I don't know, but I got these two old friends on the radio, and I will call them and ask them. So that's what I'm doing.
Okay, Kit. Thank you, brother. We feel like old friends, and that's I heard somebody say, that is the great nature of radio. You can drive down the highway, which a lot of people are doing right now, and we get to communicate with them, and they don't have to see. They can hear. So anyway, thank you, Kent. Let me make this statement, then I'll turn it over to you. Jesus is not the only one that said, Father, forgive them. Now, that was concerning Stephen when he was stoned. He could not add the last part of that. They knew exactly what they were doing to Stephen. And he said, Father, forgive them. But Jesus said, they do not know what they're doing. Alex, they just couldn't comprehend that this was God in the flesh, could they?
They couldn't. You know, this is in Luke 23:34. They were at Calvary. They crucified Jesus. And the malefactors, or the criminals, one on the right, one on the left. And then Jesus said, I think of not only the soldiers, the accusers, the crowds, the Jewish religious leaders, and all of a lost world. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, salvation is not automatic. We've often said this. Jesus' death on the cross makes redemption possible. Your faith in Jesus makes salvation actual. But I think it's the compassionate heart of Jesus. You know, here's the lost world. Think about it. God came from heaven to earth. God came to show love, grace, every good thing. And what did a fallen world do? Killed him. And yet, even in his dying breath, and Bert, at least there's a lesson for us in this. And I know in a fallen world, people get done wrong, people get betrayed. But if the Son of God could say, Father, have mercy on them, they don't even know what they're doing, how much more can we show grace and space and forgiveness to those, you know, that maybe we don't feel like they deserve our forgiveness, but it's always right to forgive, don't you think?
I guarantee you it is. Now, Kent, I don't think we're saying that those soldiers, I do believe the centurion was saved after it was over.
Matthew 27:54.
Yes, but it wasn't automatic salvation in that prayer. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So they were without faith, and that was not. But that forgiveness, they don't know what they're doing, yeah. Have you found out forgiveness, Alex, in my case, has been more for me than it was the person that I was forgiven? You know, unforgiveness is an acid that destroys the container. Unforgiveness is drinking the poison, expecting someone else to die. So wow. When we're talking about forgiveness, do not harbor it. Do not keep it in there. It destroys. It really is. And Satan's come to kill, steal, and destroy. And part of that destruction is unforgiveness. Don't let it be a part of your life. Thank you, Kent. Go ahead, Alex.
I want to encourage people to read 1 Corinthians 2, 7, and 8. It speaks about the wisdom of God, the mystery of the incarnation, which none of the princes of this world knew, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified of glory.
That's it.
Isn't that something?
That is. Man, thank you, Alex, for adding that. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Michael. Michael, thank you for calling.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I've been a Sunday school teacher for going on 2 years, and I have really loved every minute of what I teach my class.
Well, wait just a minute, Michael. And, Michael, who are you teaching? Men, boys, girls, men and women? Who are you teaching?
It's a mix of men and women.
Okay, go ahead. I was just wondering. I love Sunday school teachers. Go ahead, brother.
All right. You was talking about with Paul and Philippians and whatnot on that one. But one thing I've learned from Paul was when he was on the road to Damascus and he saw the light, when he was in his preaching and he met up with Bar-Jesus, do you not feel that he saw what everybody sees in us, a shadow of himself? He saw the hatred he had. He saw the hate for God that he had, the hate for Christ. He was a Jew, but he was also a Christian after he was converted. But when he saw Bar-Jesus, I believe that he saw himself more than once in time as he went on. And I think that when we look at ourselves as Christians, and I've heard preachers, I heard one preacher talk about it, and he was real good. He called them camouflage Christians. Huh. We only show ourselves when it comes to being around other Christians, or we're only Christians when we go to church to actually show. And I feel like there's a lot more of that going on in churches and in life now than we have anywhere else.
Well, Michael, it's the time for believers to stand up and speak up and pray a lot, Alex. Michael, we appreciate that. Alex, is all right if I go to a question that was sent in by, it was about, and the reason I do it, because I wanted to get to it, and you go ahead and answer the phone, is about, is it all right for Christians to put up a Christmas tree?
Absolutely. I got to ask, is it all right if Angie and I put up about two or three?
How about if Bert and Jan already has some up?
Yeah. You know, the Christmas tree, one of the people that kind of promoted it was Martin Luther, you know, and he was one of the great reformers. We have the gospel today in part because of Martin Luther. And I realize there are some people who think that it's pagan. Hey, listen, if you... it's not. Honestly, it's not. The evergreen was to teach children about eternal life, and they would put candles. You know, I've often thought about it. I've actually seen some of the pewter candle holders that Luther had created to hang on the limbs, and I've thought, wow, this is dangerous to have a candle. But those were, you know, way before electric lights, but it was Jesus as the light of the world. Now, Bert, we can talk more about this. But the incarnation, the coming of Jesus, we do it up big.
Amen. Amen.
And Bert always says, make much of Jesus. One of the ways you can do that is make much of Christmas.
Amen. And our founder, Don Wildman, listen, he did that well.
Did he?
Yeah, he put out Christmas buttons and everything, and it was part of the early ministry of AFR. Yeah. Don't, you know, he's the reason for the season. Keep Christ in Christmas. Listen, and let that Christmas tree at our house, it's a memory tree with all of our children, our daughter-in-laws, our grandkids, and they'll look at it, and there's a story behind just about every ornament. And Jesus is the one behind the story. We'll see you tomorrow with more of Exploring the Word.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
The feature-length documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, premiering November 11th, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Find out more and watch the trailer at culturewarrior.movie.